This morning we're going to have a baptism. Some of you might have come in. What is that big trough up front? That is our baptismal, and it's so cool. It's so special to us because it represents a lot of things. But to me, remember, Christ was born in a feeding trough, you know? And when we get born again, we get baptized to demonstrate that we have a new life in Christ. We walk now in the newness of life. And so, to me, that just reminds me, though it was much smaller, that Christ was born really in a feeding trough, you know. And then also, it looks kind of like a coffin. If you really look at it, you're like, I hate to say, for you being baptized today, you know, not to freak you out, but it could resemble that. In a sense, we have died to our old life, and we have been risen in Christ. So that's today, we're going to talk a lot about baptism to remind us, perhaps you were baptized when you were, you know, first born again, or even as a baby. I was baptized the first time as a baby, you know, and to remind us, though, that when we got baptized in faith, and that picture of baptism that we are commanded to do it, we just want to remind you of your first love in Jesus, you know, being what it meant to be born again. And we're going to invite you today, even if perhaps you were baptized as I was the first time as a baby, or perhaps you were baptized and didn't really comprehend or grasp what you were doing, and you would like to be baptized again, you can be baptized today. We're going to give that opportunity to you at the end of the service. And right now you might be saying, there is no way I'm going to do that today. It's too cold out. Well, God will figure that out. But we do have towels for you. And we don't have any extra clothes. I have a jacket up here. Okay? But if the Lord leads you to be baptized today, you know, come on up and do it. Because, he wants us to grasp the fact that we are dead to our old life and we have risen from the dead. So, quick little joke. So, there was this minister in a lake and he was baptizing people. And suddenly this drunk staggered along and he just wandered right out to the water. And he staggered into the minister, and the minister turns around and goes, well, what are you doing? And then he starts going, I'm just trying to find out, what are you guys doing out here? And he says, oh, man, you smell like alcohol. You know, you need to be born again. Come here a minute. So he grabs him, and he dunks him in the water, and he pulls him up, and he says, did you find Jesus? And so he says, find Jesus? No. He goes, oh, he dunks him down again. He pulls him back up. Did you find Jesus? He goes, what? No, I didn't find Jesus. So he dunks him down again. He holds him down. And the guy's like, you know, like, whoa, 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 you know. So finally, after about 40 seconds, he lifts him out. And he said, did you find Jesus? And he said, no, I didn't. Are you sure he fell in here? So, some of you probably heard that before, but you're being polite. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for laughter. So let's thank the Lord. We're going to give a brief message about baptism and what it means. What is baptism and why be baptized? So let's thank the Lord. Lord, we ask your word to do all the heavy lifting this morning, Lord God. We ask your word to pierce our hearts, Lord. And Lord, I surrender to you, Lord, that I am just a waiter, Lord God, and we ask that your filet mignon of revitalization happens, Lord God, to our lives, and just help me carry the plate, Lord. And Lord, we ask you to inspire us this morning of the significance of baptism, and we thank you in Jesus' name, amen. You know, when I was born again, I shared it many times, but after about a year of fighting and struggling, when I first confessed and received Jesus with my mouth, it took me a year for my heart to catch up of fighting and struggling. And then after a year, I know I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. I just called out to the Lord and I said, Lord, why is this so difficult? I thought this was something you do, not that I do. And I'm just fighting and fighting to be accepted. And I feel like I'm always like second guessing, did I just sin? Always fighting. And finally, I just surrendered. I just felt that the Holy Spirit just filled my heart. You know, I was bawling like a baby. I shared it before. I was in public too, so I had to go into the woods and hide almost because I was so overwhelmed. by his love. And I just was released. I just knew that I was released at that moment, you know? And the Lord just started, gave me even greater understanding of his word. And just, I just knew I received special gifts that day, you know, of the Holy Spirit. But after that, it still took, I don't remember how long, probably a year to be baptized in water. You say, well, why so long? Well, for one thing, no one really spelled out this was a command of God. He said to do it. But also when my pastor said, you know, you haven't been baptized yet. I'm like, so? And he says, well, you need to be. I'm like, why? I thought I'm already saved. Why do I need to be baptized? And he says, because it's an act of obedience. He tells us to do it. You need to do it. You need to obey. If Christ himself was baptized, you need to be baptized, you know? And so I was. And I'll tell you what, I'll never forget the day. And when I was baptized, something new happened. Because I realize now that I fully surrendered. Because, you know, if you won't even be embarrassed to get yourself wet for Jesus, there's a lot of other things you probably won't do too. Do you know what I mean? And submitting in the flesh to saying, I'm going to stand in front of whatever, however many people were there that night and just be baptized is a public declaration of something that has happened privately in my heart. You know, I publicly said, yes, I am a new creation. And all of a sudden, something new happened. I knew I was new before, but I even knew I was newer after I got baptized because suddenly my flesh realized, wow, they're not kidding around. There really is a new spirit in town. There really is a new spirit in control, and my flesh must obey to the Holy Spirit now. And of course, you know, we all sin. I'm not saying any of us are sinless, but my flesh understood, no, you will obey God because of that simple act of getting wet. So we're really going to talk about why it's so important. And really, if it's important to God, it should be important to me. You know, if it's important to him to be baptized, then it is important to me. When Jesus was about to ascend to heaven, imagine the last words that you say to your friends and family, you know, they'd be significant, wouldn't they? Well, he's about to go to heaven and he's talking to his disciples out on the Mount of Olives and he's telling them, in fact, if you could put that verse up, Matthew 28:19-20, I know most of you know this by heart, but Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. He commanded them to be baptized and to baptize others. It's important to God. And if Jesus himself was baptized, we're going to take a look later at that, those verses where it takes place. But if Jesus himself, who had no sin in him, was willing to be baptized to demonstrate to those who do have sin, no, you need to submit your flesh to baptism. How much more do I need to be baptized? And when he was walking towards the river, you know, John the Baptist would say, no, no, it's, you know, he was like, me baptize you? Are you kidding me? And he says, permitted at this time to fulfill all righteousness. Do it. Just to demonstrate to the rest of us what true submission to the Spirit means. And so the origin of baptism, when we look at it in terms of the history of Israel, you know, remember the Levites, the priests, they were told to cleanse themselves before they went into the temple to not bring the dirt of the world into the Holy of Holies, or else there would be death to pay, you know, if they brought the dirt of the world into the Holy of Holies. So that idea of leaving the dirt outside, cleansing yourselves. And then also, do you remember after Israel left Egypt and they went into the wilderness, 50 days after they left Egypt, The law came down from heaven. God brought the Ten Commandments to Moses and to Israel on Mount Sinai. But 3 days before, he said, cleanse yourselves, because something new is about to happen. Cleanse yourselves. And 3 days later, the Lord came down in a thick cloud upon Mount Sinai. And as the Israelites watched this cloud descend and the trumpets sound and the thunder of God's voice over the sky being his amplification, imagine how scary that would be. The thunder of God's voice speaking the Ten Commandments. And the Israelites looked up to this fireball rising from Mount Sinai and this thick smoke, and they just trembled with fear. They said, they couldn't handle it. But they were told to cleanse themselves before the law would be given on Mount Sinai. So it's significant, the idea of cleansing and the idea of getting prepared, consecrated, sanctified, prepared for something great that's about to happen. But you know, it even goes back further than that. In Genesis 6, you read about how the Lord, when finally the evil on the earth was so bad, every thought of man was evil. And because of the infiltration of demons into man and everything, that it was just awful on earth. And God said, I need to hit the do-over button. He was looking at man and was like, wow, look what they're doing to themselves. So he sent the great flood onto earth. The rain fell from heaven. The springs burst forth from beneath. And the earth was flooded, as you know, and all mankind died except 8 aboard the ark. And you know, this is a picture of baptism, because as the earth was dying in the water, few would rise above the water and be saved, and would be the salvation, really, of all mankind. In this little boat on the sea, well, it was big, but it was little compared to the ocean, the world of an ocean. And they were saved through baptism. And you say, well, you sure that's a true connection? And we can see it in 1 Peter. If you could put that verse up, chapter 3, verse 20 to 21, who formerly were disobedient when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is 8 souls, were saved through water. There is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism, not in the removal of filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, the actual water doesn't really cleanse our soul, but it's symbolic of that, the fact our soul has been cleansed by Jesus Christ. And also another picture of antiquities is when Israel was leaving Egypt and they passed through the Red Sea, and the cloud, which of course is moisture, was covering Israel, protecting them from the scorching heat of the sun. In a sense, Israel was baptized into Christ as they were heading towards the promised land. And only those who survived to actually enter the promised land, when they did, the cloud disappeared. Again, as a picture of dying in terms of dying as the Egyptians died beneath the Red Sea as it collapsed upon them. It's all a picture of baptism, of dying to the old life, the old Egypt, and rising again in the promised land, that spirit-filled life. And we see that also. That's not something I just thought up. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, if you can put that verse, verses 1 and 2. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Isn't that amazing? All these things are a picture. Don't you love the way God is so symbolic? Like, everything to him matters. Every little stroke of the word is a picture of something, you know, and means something significant. So we see here that Israel was baptized in the protection of Christ, And when they rose again, in a sense, in the promised land, it's a picture of baptism. And so you see, why water? Why water? Well, when you think about it, we are 60% water. Some people more, some people less. Men have more water in them than women. Did you know that? I don't know why. We're more muscular. Do you know muscles hold water? Did you know that? But we're all a lot of water. And when you think about it, you know, you and I, we are what? Body, soul, and spirit. Well, the water is really our flesh. Your flesh is water. In fact, when you pass away, the water seeps out, and you, as you disintegrate, you get dry. Let me tell you. You know, we get dried out because the water is leaving us, right? So the water is a picture of our flesh. And I hope I don't get too out there, but hang with me for a second. But, you know, in heaven, there are three witnesses, okay? It's the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And on earth, there are three witnesses. And you know what they are? They are the water, the blood, and the spirit. We are spoken of as being like the witness in body, soul, and spirit, as in that we are water, which is our flesh, our soul, which is really connected to the blood. And that's why the Lord said, I have given you the blood of atonement for your souls. You know, blood is a symbol really of your soul. And then the spirit. So really, you are a trinity, in a sense, a human trinity, just as Christ, we're made in his image, right? And God is a trinity. He is one, but he is three persons, in a sense. And he is the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. So you say, why are you going down this rabbit trail? Well, the point is, your water is your flesh. That's the out of the three witnesses, your soul is your life being acted out, your soul acting out, and that's the picture of your blood, that's your identifying mark in your Trinity, but your water is your flesh. And so when we get dunked into the water, we are saying, I understand I am flesh, but my flesh is now dying in the rest of the water. It's like it's not of any significance to me anymore, and now what rises up is a new life in Jesus. A new life in Jesus. I know that kind of took a little rabbit trail, but do you know what I'm talking about? Really, the water is your flesh. And we are saying, yeah, I know I'm flesh. So I'm willing to die in the water with my water and rise up brand new. Does that make sense? So anyway, we're going to look at Romans chapter 6 for a few verses and read this. Verse 3, or do you not know that so many of us, as were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. We have died to the old flesh. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Amen. Isn't that awesome? We are dead to the law, but alive in faith, alive in grace. In fact, Christ is the end of the law for those who believe. We don't have to worry about fulfilling the law because Christ did on our behalf. We merely need to walk in the Spirit, live in the Spirit, and we won't gratify the lust of the flesh. It won't even be something that we desire. So that's why baptism is so important, is because it reminds us that we are dying to the old life and rising in the new. Jesus, when he was baptized, we're going to take a look at those verses. They're so wonderful. Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 to 17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you are coming to me. But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him, and when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. The heavens were opened to him. Isn't that awesome? Do you know, the Lord wants to open the heavens to us too. Do you remember when Philip was following Jesus and then he went and got his brother Nathanael and brought him? You got to see, you know, this might be the guy that we heard about through Moses. So he went to him, and as he walked up, as he met him, Jesus said, I saw you under the fig tree. And he goes, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And he goes, just because I said that to you? And then he said this in John chapter, do you have that up there? John 1, 51. And he said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. The heavens were open. Don't you want the heavens open to you? I really do. I just want whatever God wants to send as an avalanche down upon me. I want it. Don't you? Do you want to leave anything behind? Do you want to get to heaven and see all these silos untapped? Oh, that was yours, you know. You never asked for it. It's still here. I'm like, man, I should have had a V8. No, I mean, I really could have had that. I mean, that was mine to have, you know? It was. You know, it is. He wants to open up the gates of heaven. Do you remember when Jacob was running from Esau and he was heading to Paddan Aram because he had to escape? And as he was heading there, he laid down in a place he later called Bethel, the house of God. And as he dreamed, do you remember what happened? A ladder was dropped down, and God himself stood above it, and angels were ascending and descending upon his head. And he's seeing this, and he's just like, and he woke up, and by the way, during the dream, God says, you know, I will be with you. I will bring you back, because this is your inheritance. I have something to do first. Something's about to happen. You know, when the heavens open, something is about to happen. When you're baptized, the heavens are opening up, and they're saying something big is about to happen. And when I was baptized in water, suddenly my baptism in the Holy Spirit connected with the baptism of the water, and all of a sudden, it made all sense. All of a sudden, like, the heavens really, like, really opened up, because my flesh said, you know what? You are not important anymore. There's a new spirit that's controlling your vessel. There's someone else in charge. It's the Holy Spirit of God. It's so important for us to realize that the Lord wants to open up the heavens to us, just like he did for Jacob. And when he brought him back, he finally made it back to Bethel, remembering, wow, God said I'd come back. And look, I have a whole entourage. I have the 12 tribes of Israel with me. That was his family, you know. He came back with a whole entourage back to the promised land. You know, God's about to do something in our lives. And when we're baptized in water, we realize that, you know what? Now that I've fully surrendered, fully died to the flesh, guess what's about to happen? The heavens are about to open and something big is about to happen. Now, some of you might say, I always wonder, well, why did Jesus have to be baptized? You ever wonder about that? But we know Philippians tells us that when he came to earth, he had to, I think it's NASB, says he had to empty himself. All versions have a little different, but emptied himself in that he had to lay aside some of his glory and come as you or I to demonstrate what it looks like for flesh to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you ever notice, not much ministry except that discussion in the temple when he was 12 has been documented about his childhood because he was not anointed by the Holy Spirit till he was 30 years old. Because he wanted to show you and I what it looks like to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He is God, but he laid aside some of his glory when he came to earth so that the Holy Spirit could fill him when he was baptized and the heavens opened up. And so that's why it's so important to realize that many of the miracles Christ did, I believe, was done in flesh, filled with the Spirit from on high, even though he could have just come down and done all of it. But if he had come down in his heavenly state, who would survive? No one could see the face of God and live, right? I mean, you know, the first sons of thunder he'd see would have just exploded in his sight. I mean, nobody could look at Jesus in the form of his heavenly image, but someday you and I will really see him because we will be able to. We'll be in heaven with him, and the old will fully be gone. But anyway, so we see here that Jesus was baptized when he was baptized with water. Often, the Holy Spirit, when someone is baptized by the Holy Spirit, you know, it is a separate thing than being baptized by water. You know that? When you're baptized with water, it's demonstrating that you are going to leave your old life behind and live a new life. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit is something separate. Now we see when Jesus was baptized, it happened all at the same time. Because he was obedient, he knew it was time to be baptized by water, but he also realized it's also time to be baptized by the Holy Spirit because my ministry is about to begin. Something big is about to happen. He needed the Holy Spirit. But for me, it didn't happen that way. I was baptized by the Holy Spirit before I was baptized by water because I just didn't know any better. And I thought, you know, I was baptized as a baby. What's the difference, right? But so I was baptized by the Holy Spirit, and then I was baptized in water, and I realized, wow, God just bridged the gap. My soul gets it. Now my body gets it. My body knows, no, you will surrender to the soul who surrenders to the Holy Spirit, you know? So we see that. We also see it in scriptures. Do you remember when Peter was in a trance and the Lord opened up the heavens because something big was about to happen? And the Lord brought down a blanket and on there was all these things he wasn't allowed to eat. And he says, kill and eat. And he's, oh no, never. I've never eaten anything unclean like that. And he says, what I have made clean, you shall not call unclean. I'm paraphrasing. And it happened three times. Suddenly he woke up. Well, what was all that about? All of a sudden someone's knocking on his door. And he says, this centurion Cornelius has sent us to get you. And so he went. And you know the story. He got to Cornelius's house. And all of a sudden he's hearing like, I'm not even supposed to be in here. These are Gentiles. This is unclean. Unclean. Wait a minute. Unclean. Heaven's open. God told me, don't call something unclean that I have made clean. That's why I'm here. This is all about you. That trance was about you. Wow. Wow. Suddenly he got it. And so as he was speaking, didn't even finish his great sermon. Bam, the Holy Spirit came. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were speaking in tongues. It's just like, whoa, look what just happened. Even the Gentiles are now being baptized by the Holy Spirit. Who can prevent them from being baptized by water? It might have only for them. It was a year and a half for me. It was maybe 5 minutes for them. But they were baptized by the Holy Spirit before the water. Maybe that was, well, the reverse could be true too, right? You could be baptized by water, but not baptized by the Holy Spirit. I mean, that was me, in a sense, because I was baptized by the sprinkling when I was a baby. Now, what does a baby know? A baby doesn't know anything, right? And yet, many people were baptized as a baby, but didn't know what they were doing. But many people were baptized even when they were young kids and still didn't know. And many people were baptized later on and truly still didn't comprehend. You mean the heavens can be opened to me and I can receive the Holy Spirit? Wow, that could be me. And some people are baptized again because they realize, wow, there's more to have. Don't you want to have more? If God says, you know, there's more to have, well, no, I have enough, thank you very much. You know, that's not great gain, okay? Godliness and contentment is great gain, but you know, godliness means you're serving, expecting something from God. It really is, if you dissect that word, it's being rewarded by God, knowing you're going to be rewarded. Well, when you serve God, you're rewarded heavily, you know? So being content without godliness isn't great gain. It's godliness with contentment is great gain. So don't be content with having enough. What if God says, you mean you don't want more? Like you don't, like imagine if your kid goes under the Christmas tree and he starts opening your gifts and he's looking at, yeah, that's good. That's good. Thanks, Mom. Yeah, that's cool. Good. All right, thanks. And he goes back to his controller. Well, like there's like four more presents there. No, I'm good. I'm good, but thanks. I really like those other things that you got me. Thank you very much. Yeah, wow. You know, yeah, but there's, like, really? Like, they're sitting here. Let me look. You have a clue? Nah, I'm good, really. I mean, like, that's us. If we don't want more, that's us, being content without godliness, without wanting more from God. He wants us to want more, you know? But often people are baptized with water and don't receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Thank God the scripture shows that too. You know, if you search the scriptures, they really show you everything, don't they? And if you can recall, remember when Philip was going through Samaria and he came across some Samaritans, this city, and they started preaching the gospel, and all of a sudden they're casting out demons out of possessed people. They were healing the paralyzed people. All kinds of amazing things were happening, and people were running and getting baptized by water. I mean, I would say that was a spectacular day, wouldn't you? I mean, like, that's enough. I don't need no more. I mean, seeing that would be just amazing. And even Simon the sorcerer, who was the leader of the town, and he was like, you know, a demonizer. I mean, he would basically muster up things of prophecy through the underworld and through demon spirits and all this stuff. So there he was, and he's like, you know, I need this. This looks cool. And he runs in. He gets baptized, right? So all these people are baptized by water, a lot of manifestations of the Spirit working. So then Jerusalem heard, hey, you know what? The Samaritans are getting baptized. They're receiving God. So Peter and John went down to see what was going on. And when they got there, like, wow, this is amazing. But they haven't received the Holy Spirit yet. Well, wait a minute. A lot of good things were happening, right? And they were baptized by water, baptized in the name of Jesus. Yeah, but they need to be baptized by the Holy Spirit. They haven't received the Spirit, baptism of the Holy Spirit yet. I'm like, wow. So there's a separate thing. Yes, there is. And so they laid hands on all the people and they received the Holy Spirit then. And then they were just busting out in tongues and all kinds of, you know, joy filled the place. The city was filled with the joy of the Lord because of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Remember, Simon even wanted to buy that ability. Can I buy that? And we know the story there. He warned him, and we don't know the outcome. Hopefully, he was forgiven of that great sin of thinking he could buy the Holy Spirit. But we need to want it. We need to want it. And Jesus wants us to have it. He does. In fact, Luke 11:13 says, if you, being evil in comparison with God, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? you know, there's a gift sitting there unwrapped. And he's saying, you mean you don't want more? You don't want more of the Holy Spirit? You don't want more from me? No, I'm good. I'm good. All right, well then, until you ask, you're not going to get it. Because I'm not going to have my grace stamped upon like that and collecting dust. But when you're ready, you ask. Because he wants us to want it. He wants us to need it. He wants us to realize that we have no life outside of the Holy Spirit. There is no life apart from the Spirit-filled life for a believer. It's a double-minded, weak, miserable existence when you know your inheritance is in heaven, but you're still trying to find it on earth. It's miserable. It's torture for the soul. It's like Lot living in Sodom. He didn't belong there. What was he doing there, you know? And so we're going to have the baptism now, but I'm going to, at the end, invite anyone who wants to receive the Holy Spirit. We're going to ask him to bring the baptism of the Holy Spirit into this place. And we're also going to go do communion. This is an action-packed Sunday, you know? But, you know, the Lord has more. Don't you want heaven being opened to you? Don't you? You know, I want a freeway on me. I want a freeway of heaven just pouring down on me. I want a highway my way. Don't you? I want everything he wants to give me. I want a ladder that matters. I practice this a little bit. I must confess. I want a Jacob ladder, don't you? I want a ladder that matters. I want angels up and down, you know, oh, we got to give more, we got to give more, we got to give more. So much coming up. I mean, big things are about to happen. Get more, send more down, you know. I mean, that's, don't you want that for your life? I'm running out. God, I need more. Look, I'm giving it away, just like Alex was sharing. You know, he gives us so much so we can pour it out on others. He doesn't want us being poverty-stricken. Well, I've just had enough. I'm fine. No, you're not. You're not fine. You need more. And he's waiting to send that avalanche upon you, the gateway of heaven, the doorway. He wants to open up the windows and the doorways of heaven to send down upon you the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so, all right, so we're going to get ready for the baptism. And so far, we only have two. I predicted more. You know, last time we had three baptisms and three more people came up. So, and it's been a while. It's been over a year since we've been having a baptism. So, first of all, Pastor Doug, can you come on up and help out? And Don's here. And also, you know what? The band, does the band want to come up just to kind of get prepared? Because we're going to have communion after this as we reorganize and restructure. And if anyone wants to take a picture, there's going to be a little area there that you can kind of sneak over and take a picture. Great, we got some extra sweatshirt and sweatpants. And we have tons of towels. So if this is you today, if you've been, don't be like me, you know, a year and a half. I always compare failure with me. I don't know. No. So often I'm like, you know, when I accepted Jesus, I always say, if anyone wants to receive Jesus today, stand up. And I'm thinking, yeah, but you didn't. And I didn't. I accepted Jesus and sat in my seat, anchored, unwilling to stand up and admit it. I mean, so wimpy. Don't be a wimp like I was. Be bold and courageous like someone else was, all right? Because you really, baptism, after I was baptized, like, that was so easy, and it was fun. It was so much fun to really just be teaching my body to obey what has happened in the heart. You know, you could be saved. What's a wedding ceremony for? You could sneak away and get married, right? You can elope and get married before the justice of the peace, before a reverend, make no big deal out of it. But you have a celebration before witnesses to celebrate. We just did this. We just had a wedding, you know, a graduation. You can graduate and receive your diploma through the mail. But the graduation, walking down the aisle, the big celebration with your classmates is a demonstration, I just did this. And that's what baptism is. It's a celebration of saying, the Lord just did this in my heart. And I want to publicly demonstrate that and teach my body that you no longer have any grip on my soul. My soul will dictate to you what living in the Spirit looks like. Amen. This is just a tent, isn't it? It's skin. It's a tent of skin. And someday it's going to have no water in it. And we're just going to have our new heaven, our new heavenly bodies. But for now, our body needs to be trained to obey the Spirit of God. Amen. And so are you ready? We need a microphone. And we have, by the way, certificates. And we can write, there's blank ones in the box. Okay, we can fill in your name. But Christina is going to share with you why she's getting baptized today.
Believers, but I've always felt a closeness with God. As an adult, I've been learning how to really behave as a Christian by pursuing fellowship, prioritizing prayer, and reading the Word. I want to live my life for Jesus, and the way He's calling to live my life, I want to live it that way. I was baptized as an infant, but now as an adult, I want to make a public declaration that I'm going to make serving God the number one priority in my life. And be born again.
Amen.
And I prepared a verse that from Peter, chapter 1, 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time.
Amen. Amen. Do you have anything? Oh, here you go. I'll take it. You have anything else you want to share? That's it? Okay. And by the way, I have this. Keith and Christina are getting married in the spring. So this is Keith, her husband. So we're so happy for them. And so here, let me take this so it doesn't get waterlogged. And why don't you come up here? We didn't go through this, but you can step right over here. And you want to step into this nice, warm, pretend. No, it is warm. It is warm. And so, Christina, did you accept Jesus as your Savior?
Yes.
Then, in the name of Jesus Christ, we baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yay! And Janiris, you ready? Janiris, I can't pronounce her last name right now. I know it. But Janiris, you have some things you want to share with us, don't you?
Yes.
This young lady is amazing. Anyone who knows her family, her sisters, they are so filled with the Spirit, so in love with God's Word, and such a testimony in their schools. And so we're really looking forward to what she's about to share. You ready? Okay, here you go. Here, take the microphone.
My name is Janaris. I'm so happy to be getting baptized today. I would like to share my testimony. When I was 5 years old in 2015, my mom was doing my hair, and I told her that I wanted to give my heart to Jesus. So we went to her room, opened the Bible to Acts 16:31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. My mom told me I needed to confess my sins and believe in my heart that Christ died for me, and I did. confessed my sins and meant every word. My mom gave me this Bible verse. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me by the faith of the Son of God, which I now live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2:20. We prayed, then we went out and celebrated my born-again birthday, June 12, 2015. Now I am ready to take the next steps in my Christian walk with the Lord.
Is that it? Jesus. Woo! Wow. Is there anyone else? Come on, this can be the day. David, come on up.
I guess like Pastor Chris, I was baptized when I was younger. I was reflecting yesterday. I didn't know that this was going to happen today. I didn't remember. The word obey, it means to be under a hearing of. And I was reflecting that I've been obedient in like through faith, and I've been obedient through prayer, but I haven't been obedient through like good works, the evidence of my faith beyond my words, beyond what I pray, hasn't really been there. And I want that to change. So, and Pastor Chris was talking about the Holy Spirit and the water, and it was all connecting. So,
yeah, praise God. Amen. Yeah. So take your time. Yeah, kneel down. That's a good idea. Yeah. We're learning as we go along here.
It's cold, actually.
So, David, have you accepted Jesus as your Savior?
Yes.
Then we baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Oh.